All right, praise the Lord, everyone. It's wonderful to see all of you here this morning, praise God. We are going to open with a prayer. Father in heaven, we come before thee in prayer this morning, thanking thee for this blessed opportunity to be in thy presence. We pray, Lord, that thy spirit would be upon each and every one of us. We pray, Lord, that we would be inspired this day to draw nigh to thee. Give us that precious gift of the Holy Ghost and give us the ability this day to worship thee in spirit and in truth. We ask that thy blessing would be here. We ask that each and everything we do this day would be according to thy perfect plan and thy perfect will. We pray this in Jesus' name, through the power of thy saving blood. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. All right. Well, we're going to start out with number 8 in the hymnal this morning. We're going to sing Showers of Blessing. Number 8. Praise God. There shall be showers of blessing. This is the promise of love. There shall be seasons refreshing, sent from the Savior above. Showers of blessing, showers of blessing we need. Mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we plead. There shall be showers of blessing, precious reviving again. Over the hills and the valleys, sound of abundance of rain. Showers of blessing, showers of blessing we need. Mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we plead. There shall be showers of blessing, send them upon us, O Lord. Grant to us now a refreshing, come and now water thy word. Showers of blessing, showers of blessing we need. Mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we plead. There shall be showers of blessing, oh that today they might fall. Now as to God we're confessing, now as on Jesus we call. Showers of blessing, showers of blessing we need. Mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we plead. Showers of blessing, showers of blessing we need. Mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we plead. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. We're going to turn now to number 85. 85 and sing He Keeps Me Singing. Yes. within my heart a melody. Jesus whispers sweet and low. Fear not, I am with thee, peace be still, in all of life's ebb and flow. It's Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know. He fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. All my life was wrecked by sin and strife, discord filled my heart with pain. Jesus swept across the broken strings, stirred the slumbering chords again. It's Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know. He fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. Feasting on the riches of His grace, resting neath His sheltering wing, always looking on His smiling face, that is why I shout and sing. It's Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know. He fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. Though sometimes He leads through waters deep, trials fall across the way. Though sometimes the path seems rough and steep, see His footprints all the way. It's Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know. He fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. Soon He's coming back to welcome me, far beyond the starry sky. I shall wing my flight to worlds unknown, I shall reign with Him on high. It's Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know. He fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. It's Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know. He fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Well, let's look right across the page and sing number 84, More Abundantly. Are you trusting Jesus all along the way? Does He grow more precious to your heart each day? Are you His disciple?
test His word and see. He will give the Spirit more abundantly, more abundantly, more abundantly, that they might have life, and more abundantly, more abundantly, more abundantly, that they might have life, and more abundantly. Of our precious Savior, who from glory came, let the saints adore Him for His wondrous word, sealing our redemption through His precious blood. More abundantly, more abundantly, that they might have life, and more abundantly, more abundantly, more abundantly, that they might have life, and more abundantly. Come to Him believing, hearken to His call, all from Him receiving, yield to Him your all. Jesus will accept you when to Him you flee. He will grant His blessing more abundantly, more abundantly, more abundantly, that they might have life, and more abundantly, more abundantly, more abundantly, that they might have life, and more abundantly, more abundantly, more abundantly, that they might have life, and more abundantly, more abundantly, more abundantly, that they might have life, and more abundantly. Praise the Lord. Praise God. We're going to turn now to number 67 and sing Love Lifted Me, number 67. I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the Master of the sea heard my despairing cry, from the waters lifted me, now safe am I. Love lifted me, love lifted me, when nothing else could help, love lifted me. Love lifted me when nothing else could help. Love lifted me. All my heart to Him I give, ever to Him I'll cling. In His blessed presence live, ever His praise praises sing. Love so mighty and so true merits my soul's best songs. Faithful, loving service to Him belongs. Love lifted me. Love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. Savior wants to be saved today. Love lifted me. Love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. Love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. Love lifted me. Love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. Love lifted me. Love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. All right. Well, it is such a wonderful thing that His love has lifted us. Praise God. And it is truly a wonder that He loves us as much as He does. Praise God. Let's turn now to number 255 and sing "In Jesus Loves Even Me," number 255. I am so glad that our Father in heaven tells of His love in the book He has given. Wonderful things in the Bible I see. This is the dearest that Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me, Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves even me. though I forget him and wander away, still he doth love me wherever I stray. Back to his dear loving arms would I flee, when I remember that Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves even me. Oh, if there's only one song I can sing, when in his beauty I see the great King, this shall my song in eternity be. Oh, what a wonder that Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves even me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves even me. Praise God.
Praise God. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Praise God. Well, we are going to take up the collection now. Rob, could you help us with that today, please? Thank you, sir. Father in heaven, we thank Thee this day for these tithes, these gifts, these offerings. We thank Thee, Lord, for Thy abundant blessings, for all that Thou hast done for us. We thank Thee for Thy sustaining power which has kept us. We pray, Lord, that Thou would help us to always be mindful of Thee. We pray, Lord, that Thou would continue to lead this church. Help us to always to be obedient to Thy will. We ask that Thou would reveal to us Thy perfect plan and give us Thy great wisdom on how these funds should be used for Thy purpose and for Thy glory and for the cause of Thy holy and mighty name. And Lord, we pray that Thou would bless the givers here this day and also bless those who are unable to give. We pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of Thy saving blood. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. Well, we are going to sing one more song in just a moment, but before we do that, I'm going to update everyone on a few things. And my wife did make it safely to South Carolina. She's down there right now, in case anyone was wondering. And her mother is scheduled to have surgery tomorrow to remove one of her kidneys, so we're going to be praying for her again. And I'm not entirely sure when she's going to be back yet. We're going to wait a few days and see how the recovery goes, but at some point I'm likely going to be flying down to South Carolina to go get her, because, well, she's got our new car down there, and we have to bring that back, obviously, so I'm going to fly down there, and otherwise I'd have to drive my other car down there and then drive, we'd have to drive two cars back. It wouldn't make a lot of sense. So I'm going to be flying down there, hopefully, Lord willing. And after that, we're going to drive back, and it'll be later this month, probably towards the end of the month, but we're going to see how things go. And just keep me in prayer about that. I'm really hoping that I can find a decent flight that isn't too expensive. You know, that it can be a little tricky sometimes, and I haven't flown for, well, since 2007, I think. It's been a while, but I guess it's time to do that again, and hopefully the Lord will just go with me and help me with that, and I believe He will. And then I do have a doctor's appointment tomorrow, and it'll actually be my first appointment with a family physician in, well, pretty much all of my adult life, and I'm just going to get checked on for this diabetes that I've been diagnosed with, and I just want to thank the Lord. You know, yesterday I checked my blood sugar, and it was 181, and I know that may seem high to a lot of people, but that is the lowest it has been since I was first diagnosed on May 1st. And of course, on that day, it was 427. So 181 is a pretty drastic improvement. But yeah, that was the lowest. And over the course of this last week, I've had three readings that were under 200. So I'm very excited about that. And I just believe that it's going to keep going lower and lower, and eventually it'll be normal. So praise God. We are going to pray for Linda, my mother-in-law. And then also we're going to pray for Deb, who hurt her back and is in a lot of pain, so we're going to bring both of these petitions before the Lord right now. Father in heaven, we come before Thee in prayer this day. Once again for Linda, we pray, Lord, that Thou would be with her, that Thou would lift her up, that Thou would comfort her and strengthen her, Lord. Even as she goes through this surgery tomorrow, we pray, Lord, that Thy hand would be upon her the entire time. We pray that she would feel Thy presence. We pray that all would go well, let there be no complications, but we pray that Thou would guide the doctors and all medical personnel in each and everything they do. We pray, O God, that Thou would give them great wisdom, and we pray, Lord, that there would be a wonderful outcome from all this. We pray that she would be made healthy and that she would be made well. We ask this, we pray this in Jesus' name, through the power of Thy saving blood. And Father in heaven, we also pray for Deb. We pray, Lord, that Thou would reach down from heaven. We ask that Thou would touch her right now. We pray, O God, that Thou would alleviate this back pain. For we know, O God, that backs can be very fickle sometimes. We pray, Lord, that Thou would touch her right now, that Thou would heal her. Let Thy healing virtues flow, for we know that by Thy stripes we are healed. And we believe on Thee, knowing that Thou can do all things and that Thou doest all things well. We trust Thee. We believe on Thee. Touch her right now, we pray. And we ask this in Jesus' name, through the power of Thy saving blood. Amen. Amen. Praise God. We're going to sing one more song before we open our Bibles this morning. We're turning to number 44. What a Friend We Have in Jesus, number 44.
What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in Jesus. thou wilt find a solace there.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. We are going to open our Bibles now. Praise the Lord. And to begin with this morning, we will be opening to Exodus chapter 19. I'm putting a title on this message today. I'm calling it God's Peculiar Treasure. God's Peculiar Treasure. And before we read even one verse this morning, I'm going to pray one more time. Father in heaven, we come before thee in prayer this morning, thanking thee for this blessed opportunity to study thy word, to learn of thee, to know thee better. And we pray, Lord, that thy presence would be here. We pray for thy guidance and thy direction. And we pray, O God, that thou would give us all the spirit of discernment and understanding. Let thy Holy Ghost be upon us as we look upon thy blessed scripture. We pray, Lord, that thou would do a work in our hearts and in our minds. Change us, O God, for the better. Help us, O God, to be more like thee. Help us to be inspired to follow thee more closely. We ask, O God, that there would be no hindrances this morning, but we bind and we break any force of darkness or any hindering power that would dare come against us here this day. For we know, O God, that thou art truly sovereign, that there is none beside thee, and that there is none greater than thee, Lord. So we pray, Lord, that thy blessing would be here, and we pray, Lord, that thou would give us ears to hear, eyes to see, hearts that would perceive and understand. And we pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of thy saving blood. Amen. Praise God. Exodus chapter 19, and we are going here for just a few verses. You know, throughout history, we see that God has had a people. But something that those people have always had in common is that they have been peculiar. Peculiar. Different. And you'll find that people are going to notice, if you belong to the Lord, that there's something different about you, something peculiar about you. And when you're filled with God's Spirit, that makes you seem even more peculiar to people. There's nothing wrong with being peculiar, by the way. In fact, we are supposed to be peculiar. But we're not only a peculiar people. The scriptures tell us that God's people are a peculiar treasure. A special treasure that God has set aside for himself. And when the children of Israel came out of Egypt, out of captivity, brought out by a mighty hand, God extended to them an invitation. He told them, "You can be my peculiar treasure." In Exodus chapter 19, verse 1, it tells us, "In the third month, when the children of Israel were gone forth out of the land of Egypt, the same day came they into the wilderness of Sinai. For they were departed from Rephidim, and were come to the desert of Sinai, and had pitched in the wilderness, and there Israel camped before the mount. And Moses went up unto God, and the Lord called unto him out of the mountain, saying, Thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, Ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings, and brought you unto myself. Oh, yes, he brought them out of Egypt. by a mighty hand. And here he's telling them, I brought you out on eagle's wings. He carried them out. He worked one miracle after another to sustain this people. He rolled back the waters of the Red Sea when they had nowhere else to go. They crossed over on dry land. Meanwhile, their enemies, the Egyptians, drowned in those waters. And God sustained them with manna from heaven. Their clothes didn't wear out all throughout their journey, and it would be a long one. And at this point, it's just getting started. But God was with his people, and he remained with them through that entire 40-year journey through the wilderness. At this point, though, it had only been 3 months. And he is extending to his people an invitation. Verse 5, now therefore, if, and this is an important word, if. Dad used to say if is the biggest word in the English language. This was conditional. That's why that if is in there. Now therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And that's very true. This entire universe belongs to him. I know some people don't like to believe that, but he made it, and he owns it. He made us, and he owns us too. Praise God. So here he's extending this invitation. Now therefore, I'll read verse 5 again, just because I like it so much. Now therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. Not just a people, but a treasure.
Praise the Lord. Amen.
Treasure is special.
Yes.
So if you are God's treasure, then that means you are special to him. Which is really kind of an amazing thing, a miraculous thing, because our God is so much greater than we are. He is so much higher than we are. His understanding is infinite. He sees everything we do. He sees our successes. He sees our failures. He sees our struggles. And yet he still loves us. But here he's extending this invitation. He's telling Israel, you can be my peculiar treasure. But it was conditional, if you obey my voice indeed. Verse 6, and ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. And of course we know that some very exciting things were about to happen in this chapter. Moses was about to go up onto Mount Sinai and God was going to give him the Ten Commandments. But we're not going to focus on that portion of this chapter today. Instead, we are going to turn to Deuteronomy chapter 26. Deuteronomy chapter 26. And Deuteronomy is an interesting book. It's a very interesting book because Moses had some important things to tell the children of Israel. It's filled with instructions for what the children of Israel should do after he was gone. And it's also filled with warnings of things that they should not do. Now, Deuteronomy chapter 26, verse 1 tells us, and it shall be when thou art come in unto the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance, and possessest it, and dwellest therein, that thou shalt take of the first of all the fruit of the earth, which thou shalt bring of thy land that the Lord thy God giveth thee, and shalt put it in a basket, and shalt go unto the place where the Lord thy God shall choose to place his name there. And thou shalt go unto the priest that shall be in those days, and say unto him, I profess this day unto the Lord thy God that I am come unto the country which the Lord sware unto our fathers for to give us. Oh, this was going to be very exciting. And here they are given their instructions on that very first offering that they would gather and bring from the promised land when they got there. And someday, we too will get to the promised land. And we too will be able to come to the Lord and bow down before Him and offer Him sacrifices and offerings of praise and worship. Praise God. So here they are being instructed on what they should do on that wonderful day when they finally get to that wonderful time when they finally arrive in that land they long to be in. Verse 4, "And the priest shall take the basket out of thine hand and set it down before the altar of the Lord thy God, and thou shalt speak and say before the Lord thy God, A Syrian ready to perish was my father, and he went down into Egypt and sojourned there with a few, and became there a nation great, mighty, and populous." Remember how Joseph went there first, and then his father came later, and his brethren, and they dwelt in Egypt, and there they grew and became a mighty people. You know, they were heavily persecuted in Egypt. They had hard labor, and yet they continued to grow. And that's the thing about God's people. When they're persecuted, they thrive. That's still true today. It was true of the early Christian church, and it's still true today. When God's people are persecuted, they thrive. And God had His people in Egypt where they grew. And I believe that was all part of His plan to keep His people set apart. I believe He wanted them in Egypt so that they would be set apart from the rest of the world, because there was a danger. A lot of those children of Israel, well, you know, He had 12 sons, a lot of them were not spiritually mature at all. And there was a danger there that they could fall prey to the world. So God did something kind of amazing. He worked it out so that they were in Egypt. But they had their own land in Egypt, the land of Goshen, set apart from the rest of the Egyptians. So therefore, they were in Egypt, but not of Egypt. Just like today, how we are in the world, but not of the world. And there they were able to grow and thrive. And even in the face of persecution, they still continued to grow in number. And Pharaoh couldn't stop it. It got to a point where he really became concerned, because there was a risk that eventually the Israelites could have outnumbered the Egyptians in Egypt if they continued to grow. But God eventually brought them out of Egypt after their hard labor working for the Egyptians, after their time of slavery and bondage. Verse 5, "And thou shalt speak and say before the Lord thy God, A Syrian ready to perish was my father, and he went down into Egypt and sojourned there with a few, and became there a nation great, mighty, and populous. And the Egyptians evil entreated us and afflicted us and laid upon us hard bondage. And when we cried unto the Lord God of our fathers, the Lord heard our voice and looked on our affliction and our labor and our oppression." God hears every cry of His people. So if you're ever in a situation where you just don't know what to do, when you feel like your back is against the wall, just remember the God who rolled back the waters of the mighty Red Sea. Even when no one else can help you, He can. And He hears the cries of His people. He hears every cry. Verse 8, "And the Lord brought us forth out of Egypt with a mighty hand and with an outstretched arm and with great terribleness and with signs and with wonders." Oh, when they came out of Egypt, the Israelites knew that He was God. But you know what? The Egyptians knew it too. Oh, did they know it? They saw the signs, they saw the wonders, they experienced the 10 plagues. They knew the one true God. They had an introduction to Him, and it wasn't pleasant for them. But you see, that's how life is when you're disobedient to God. It's not pleasant. There will be problems. There will be consequences for that disobedience. And of course, we know that we all experience trouble. But thankfully, when you serve the Lord, you can cry out to Him and He hears those cries. Now, if you're in disobedience to God, He's not going to hear those cries. We need to understand that. Verse 9, "And He hath brought us into this place, and hath given us this land, even a land that floweth with milk and honey." You know, I get the feeling that back in these ancient times, the common people didn't have an opportunity to eat sweet things very often, which may seem strange in this day and age because there's so many sweet things all over the place. You go to the grocery store, there's sweet things everywhere. You go to restaurants, sweet things everywhere. But if you could get some honey, that was very special. And there was a lot of it in the Promised Land. It was a land that flowed with milk and honey. "And now, behold, I have brought the first fruits of the land, which thou, O Lord, hast given me, and thou shalt set it before the Lord thy God, and worship before the Lord thy God. And thou shalt rejoice in every good thing which the Lord thy God hath given unto thee and unto thine house, thou and the Levite and the stranger that is among you." Oh, when God gives us good things, and I'm not just talking about material things, but when He gives us good things, when He gives us spiritual blessings, we should rejoice. That should fill us with joy. That should thrill us to the very core of our being. Verse 12. "When thou hast made an end of tithing, all the tithes of thine increase the third year, which is the year of tithing, and hast given it unto the Levite, the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow, that they may eat within thy gates and be filled, then thou shalt say before the Lord thy God, I have brought away the hallowed things out of mine house, and also have given them unto the Levite, and unto the stranger, to the fatherless, and to the widow, according to all thy commandments which thou hast commanded me. I have not transgressed thy commandments, neither have I forgotten them." And of course, God wanted to make sure that these people who had no other means of survival were given a way to be sustained. And so He came up with this system of tithing and offerings. And they would give, the people of Israel would give to the Levitical priesthood. And they would also give to the fatherless, to the widows, to those who really needed help. And I'll tell you what, when you do give and you help others, God will bless you for it every time. And we know that the scriptures tell us that the Lord loveth a cheerful giver. Praise God. Verse 14, "I have not eaten thereof in my mourning, neither have I taken away aught thereof for any unclean use, nor given aught thereof for the dead, but I have hearkened to the voice of the Lord my God, and have done according to all that thou hast commanded me." In other words, they did not misuse their resources. They did not use them inappropriately. They didn't use them in customs that the heathen people around them used them for. You know, sometimes people will take food and they'll offer it to their false gods and goddesses and so forth, and you can't do that and then offer it to God. You see that sometimes if you go to a Chinese restaurant, maybe they'll have a Buddha in there, a Buddha statue, and it's the strangest thing because they'll actually put food in front of it. Now that statue isn't going to be able to eat anything. It's just going to sit there and rot. And yet they do it. But here, these people were instructed to give of their first fruits all that God had blessed them with. And they were instructed not to misappropriate these things, not to misuse them. But verse 15 goes on to say, Look down from thy holy habitation, from heaven, and bless thy people, Israel, and the land which thou hast given us, as thou swearest unto our fathers, a land that floweth with milk and honey. This day the Lord thy God hath commanded thee to do these statutes and judgments. Thou shalt therefore keep and do them with all thine heart and with all thy soul. God has always wanted people to keep his commandments. And he would not give commandments if he didn't expect people to keep them, especially his people. Now, in the Old Covenant, there's a lot of commandments that we don't have to keep anymore because they were ceremonial law, and they were specifically for the people of Israel. But we know that even in the New Covenant, there are commandments that we must obey. In fact, Jesus said, "If ye love me, keep my commandments," in John 14. And he actually gave us a number of new commandments. And we're going to look at what one of those is just a little bit later, a very special commandment that he gave his people. This day the Lord thy God hath commanded thee to do these statutes and judgments. Thou shalt therefore keep and do them with all thine heart and with all thy soul. We don't just keep his commandments begrudgingly because we feel obligated to do it, but we keep his commandments because we love him. And we do it with all our heart and with all our soul. We put everything we have into obeying the Lord. Verse 17, thou hast avouched the Lord this day to be thy God and to walk in his ways and to keep his statutes and his commandments and his judgments and to hearken unto his voice. And avouch, that's not a word you see too often, but it basically means to make frank acknowledgement or affirmation of, declare or assert with positiveness, to assume responsibility for, vouch for, guarantee. And it's quite a thought too that God, in this next verse, in verse 18, he's going to tell them that he avouched unto them. And it's quite a thought that God would vouch for his people. You know, sometimes you'll have people say, "Well, I vouch for this person." And then, you know, that's nice, but it's a wonderful thing to have God vouch for you. Verse 18, and the Lord hath avouched that thee this day to be his peculiar people, as he hath promised thee, as he hath promised thee, and that thou shouldest keep all his commandments. A peculiar people, a peculiar treasure, set apart. Oh, God's people are supposed to be peculiar. So peculiar. We should be the most peculiar people in the world. But if God was going to do this, if he was going to make them his peculiar people, there was something that they had to do, something important. They had to obey his commandments. Verse 19, and to make thee high above all nations, which he hath made in praise and in name and in honor, and that thou mayest be a holy people unto the Lord thy God, as he hath spoken. And holy means set apart. If you are holy, you will be peculiar. Now, I'm not talking about being self-righteous or walking around with a holier-than-thou attitude. That doesn't help. But our holiness should be God's holiness. He imparts his holiness to us when he comes to live inside our hearts. But he has called his people to be peculiar. It was true in the Old Testament. It's still true even today. Let's look at Psalm 135. Psalm 135, And I love the way this starts out. It says, praise ye the Lord. That's a wonderful thing to do. That's something we should do every day, isn't it? Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Praise Him, O ye servants of the Lord. Ye that stand in the house of the Lord, in the courts of the house of our God. Praise the Lord, for the Lord is good. Sing praises unto His name, for it is pleasant. For the Lord hath chosen Jacob unto Himself, and Israel for His peculiar treasure. We see it again, a peculiar treasure. His people, as I said before, are not only people, but a treasure to the Lord. Something so special to Him. Something so cherished by God. Verse 5, for I know that the Lord is great, and that our Lord is above all gods. Whatsoever the Lord pleased, that did He in heaven and in earth, in the seas and all deep places. You know, it's a scary thing when people do whatever they please. Because when people do whatever they please, they invariably get into trouble. But it's a wonderful thing when God does whatever He pleases, because He is righteous and He always does exactly the right thing every time. And sometimes human beings will even try to second guess God. Why are you doing that, God? We don't need to worry about that. Just trust that God will always do the right thing every time. You know, He sees all of us here on earth. He sees everything we do. He sees all the billions of people on this planet all at once, with all the lives that are intersecting. And He knows exactly how the pieces need to come together. And He knows when He needs to intervene in people's lives. He sees it all. He knows it all. And that's why it doesn't bother me at all when God does whatever He pleases. And He always has. He always will. No one can stop the Lord from doing what He pleases. Why? Because He's God, Almighty God. Praise the Lord. Verse 5, for I know that the Lord is great, and that our Lord is above all gods. Whatsoever the Lord pleased, that did He in heaven and in earth, in the seas and all deep places. He causeth the vapors to ascend from the ends of the earth. He maketh lightnings for the rain. He bringeth the wind out of His treasuries. Who smote the firstborn of Egypt, both of man and beast, who sent tokens and wonders into the midst of thee, O Egypt, upon Pharaoh and upon all his servants. You know, the thing about Pharaoh is his people in Egypt worshipped them as gods, and they thought they were pretty hot stuff. They thought they were gods. They walked around like little god men. But God showed Pharaoh how small he really was. He had to learn the hard way that there is an Almighty God, a God in the heavens. Verse 9, who sent tokens and wonders into the midst of thee, O Egypt, upon Pharaoh and upon all his servants, who smote great nations and slew mighty kings, Sihon, king of the Amorites, and Og, king of Bashan, and all the kingdoms of Canaan, and gave their land for a heritage unto Israel his people. Thy name, O Lord, endureth forever, and thy memorial, O Lord, throughout all generations. You know, this psalm was written thousands of years ago, and we're still reading it today. His word endures forever. The Lord endures forever. And this book serves as a constant memorial to that very fact. Verse 14, for the Lord will judge His people, and He will repent Himself concerning His servants. The idols of the heathen are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes have they, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Neither is there any breath in their mouths. They that make them are like unto them. So is every one that trusteth in them. People have all these so-called gods that they worship. Sometimes they'll worship a statue. Of all the silly things to do. A statue can't help you. An idol can't help you. But we know the one who can. Our almighty God in heaven. He can help us. But these verses tell us these people who make these idols are like them. Because they have no spiritual ears to hear. They have no spiritual eyes to see. And so, just as their idols are dumb, they too are dumb. But it continues on in this psalm. Bless the Lord, O house of Israel. Bless the Lord, O house of Aaron. Bless the Lord, O house of Levi. Ye that fear the Lord, bless the Lord. And that includes us. If you fear the Lord, if you respect the Lord, if you honor the Lord, then we are to bless the Lord. Verse 21, blessed be the Lord out of Zion, which dwelleth at Jerusalem. Praise ye the Lord. And you can never do it too much. You know, there's a lot of things in life that you can overdo. You can eat too much. You can exercise too hard, wake up sore in the morning. But you can never praise the Lord too much. It's something that we should be doing each and every day. It's something that we should do when things are going wonderfully. It's something that we should do when things are tough. Praise the Lord. Now we see God. He extended that invitation to his people in the book of Exodus. He told them that you can be my peculiar treasure. And here in Psalm 135, we see it again. God's people are his peculiar treasure. But we know that that invitation was conditional in Exodus. We see that word if there. If they would obey his commandments. If they would follow and obey the Lord and do what he told them to do, then he would make them his peculiar treasure. Unfortunately, for the people of Israel, they didn't do that. And we know that to be true. We can read the history books of Israel. We can read all about their evil kings, especially in the northern tribes of Israel. In fact, the northern tribes of Israel, they didn't have any good kings. Judah had a few. But we know that the people of Israel, they kept forgetting God. They kept turning aside to follow after idols and after other gods and goddesses from the people living around them, the nations around them, and that got them into trouble. Let's look at Malachi chapter 3. Malachi chapter 3. Of course, we know that even when Israel turned away from the Lord, by and large, the majority of the population, when they were serving other gods, Baal and so forth, God always had a remnant. He always had his peculiar treasure. He always had his jewels. Malachi chapter 3, verse 1. Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. And we know that a very exciting time did come when Jesus came to this world to save our souls. God robed in flesh, he came to save his people and establish a new covenant. And we know that Jesus, he took our sins upon himself on that cross of Calvary. He died for us there, and he was buried but rose again from that grave after 3 days and three nights, victorious over sin, death, and hell. And we know that a short time later, he came suddenly to his temple in the form of the Holy Ghost, and poured it out upon his people.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
his people that were his peculiar treasure. Verse 2. But who may abide the day of his coming? And who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. You know, if you are God's peculiar treasure, he is going to refine you. And sometimes it may be painful to endure that refining process. But when the process is finished, you are going to be shimmering with the light of God. He's the only one who can take us and cleanse us and make us clean. He's the only one who can refine us. And it's something that must happen to each one of us if we are going to be his peculiar treasure. Verse 3, and he shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he shall purify the sons of Levi, and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. Then shall the offering of Judah and Jerusalem be pleasant unto the Lord, as in the days of old, and as in former years. You see, when we've been refined, when all the gunk has been taken away, all of the impurities cleansed, then we can offer him those offerings, and then they will be pleasing to the Lord. And we don't offer animals anymore, by the way. That'll never be acceptable in the eyes of God again, because Jesus was the ultimate sacrifice for us, and you can never do something better than that. But we do still offer offerings. We offer offerings of praise, offerings of worship to our God. And when you've been refined by His Spirit, when you've been cleansed, when the impurities have been removed, then that offering is acceptable to God. Verse 5, and I will come near to you to judgment, and I will be a swift witness against the sorcerers and against the adulterers and against false swearers. Kind of sounds like Hollywood. And against those that oppress the hireling in his wages, the widow and the fatherless, and that turn aside the stranger from his right, and fear not me, saith the Lord of hosts. Those people who do those things are going to be judged. The sorcerers, the adulterers, the false swearers, those who oppress the hirelings and the widows and the fatherless, those who oppress those helpless people, they will be judged by the Lord. But it's interesting too here in this verse, and you see it time and time again in Scripture, God is just, God is fair. And one of the things that angers God is when people are given unjust wages. God actually believes that people should be fairly compensated for their work. And we see that in numerous places in His Word. Now, it's interesting too, He talks about the sorcerers, and you know, people nowadays, they say, well, you know, witchcraft isn't real, it's just fun and games, it's just fantasy, but you know, you get people who say, well, I'm a Christian, and yet they'll pick up a book called Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone. You know, what? And of course we know that this world is full of adulterers and false swearers. And there's all of these problems, and they are very prevalent. Verse 6 tells us, for I am the Lord, I change not. Well, praise God, isn't that wonderful to know that our God doesn't change? For I am the Lord, I change not, therefore ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Even from the days of your fathers ye are gone away from mine ordinances, and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye said, wherein shall we return? Oh, God is so merciful. And He gave those Israelites so many opportunities. They would fall into sin and they would be punished for it. They'd fall on hard times because of their sin. And God would be merciful unto them when they cried out and He would help them. But it was a vicious cycle. It kept happening over and over and over again. And it was a problem even from the very beginning when they first came out of Egypt. When Moses was up there on Mount Sinai receiving the commandments of God, the people had broken them before he even got down. Can you imagine his shock and his disgust and his anger when God had just given him those Ten Commandments, thou shalt have no other gods before me, and so forth, continuing right down the line. And he gets down from that mountain and those people are dancing around a golden calf and proclaiming that that is the God that brought them out of Egypt. What an insult. And to make matters worse, to add insult to injury, it was Aaron, Moses' brother, who made that statue. Now God was merciful, and those who repented were saved. But those who refused to repent were punished for their evil and wicked deeds. But it has been a problem, even from the very beginning. These people kept turning their backs on God. Verse 7, even from the days of your fathers, ye are gone away from mine ordinances and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye said, wherein shall we return? Here he is being so gracious. He's saying, return, come back, return unto me, and I will return unto you. You know, that invitation still holds true even today. Perhaps you know someone who used to know the Lord and isn't following him anymore. Well, people can return to the Lord. And when they do, he will welcome them with open arms. Verse 8, will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me, but ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Just need to turn my page here. Praise God. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. They weren't doing what they were supposed to do. They weren't obeying God's commandments. And of course, we know that he gave them instructions on how to tithe, and they weren't doing that either. Verse 10, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Just remember something, you can never outgive God. And there may be times when it seems like you don't have much in this world, but He will bless you if you are faithful, if you are obedient to Him. And like I said, the Lord loveth a cheerful giver. Verse 11, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. And all nations shall call you blessed, for ye shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. He's telling them, this is what you can have if you just turn to me, if you return to me, if you obey my commandments. But they had a problem. Verse 13 tells us, your words have been stout against me, saith the Lord. Yet ye say, what have we spoken so much against thee? What did we do? You know, they didn't seem to think they had a problem, but God said that they did, and we know that God is always right. Verse 14, ye have said, it is vain to serve God. And what profit is it that we have kept his ordinance and that we have walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts? That's a sad attitude, isn't it? And yet that is an attitude that is prevalent in the world today, too. And people so often will say, well, there's no point in serving God, and they'll refuse to do it. They will refuse. But you know, if you refuse, then you can't be his peculiar treasure. Verse 15. And now we call the proud happy. Yeah. We see that today, don't we? In fact, they call this month now, they call it Pride Month. And you got all of these gay people running around in their parades, and you got people going to watch and taking their children to it, and it's become a month-long celebration. You know, it used to be there'd be a few isolated parades around the country or around the world, but now it's a big monthly celebration. You can go over to Target and get your Pride gear. Or, you know, these other companies, they put out, shoes with rainbows on them and all kinds of things for Pride Month. And it's become a whole month of celebration. What are they celebrating? They're celebrating wickedness. They're celebrating evil. They are proud of their wickedness and evil. But isn't that the truth? Verse 15, and now we call the proud happy. Yea, they that work wickedness are set up. In other words, they assume that, well, we've got it made. They are set up. Yea, they that tempt God are even delivered. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. God has a special people, a peculiar people, a peculiar treasure. And those are the ones who fear the Lord. Those are the ones who think upon his name. Those are the ones who speak often of the Lord and his goodness. And that's one of the reasons we come here, because we want to speak of the goodness of the Lord.
Yes,
praise God. It's wonderful to have this fellowship, isn't it?
Yes,
Verse 17 tells us, and they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels. And I will spare them, as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Those who love the Lord, those who are obedient to him, those who speak of him often, those who fear him, those who think on his name, those are his jewels. Those are the people who are written in the book of remembrance, the book of life. And if your name is in that book, when you stand before Jesus on judgment day, you will hear those wonderful words, well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of thy Lord. Verse 17. I will read it again. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels. And I will snare them as a man, and I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Then shall ye return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. Oh, there's a difference. And you can spot it. But if you love the Lord, if you truly love the Lord with all your heart, if you want to serve him to the best of your ability, if you want and desire to obey him, then you are his peculiar treasure. You are one of his jewels. And people might say, well, all of these verses you read today are in the Old Testament. He must have been talking about Old Covenant Israel. No. God's people today are still His peculiar people, His peculiar treasure. Because you find that in the New Covenant too. Let's look at Titus chapter 2. The book of Titus. Titus chapter 2, and we are going to be starting with verse 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. And that's a wonderful verse, isn't it? You know, sometimes you get people who will say, well, it's not fair. You know, you get these people who live in far-flung regions of the earth, and they never had anyone preach to them the gospel. How can they be saved? But I'm going to tell you something. The grace of God has appeared to all men and all women and all children. And I truly believe that if there is no one to share the gospel in some of these places, then God will speak Himself to the hearts of people. And He gathers His people, His jewels, His treasure from every nation, from every tribe, from every tongue. He loves to use us to reach others, but just remember, He doesn't need us, we need Him. And if there's no one to share the gospel, He will share it Himself. Just as He did with Abraham. He spoke to Abraham directly. That is something that I believe He still does, even today. So there's no excuse. Because that grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. Verse 12, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Praise God. That is our blessed hope, the appearing of Jesus Christ. In fact, that is our only hope. Without Jesus Christ, we have no hope. Who gave Himself for us, that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Just as Malachi talked about God being a refiner, here we see that He is a purifier. He purifies His people. He refines us. He washes away our sins with His precious blood. And when He does that, we are His peculiar treasure. We are His peculiar people. Verse 15, these things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. In other words, everything that he wrote in his chapter, he's telling them to teach and to speak and exhort and to rebuke wickedness with all authority. Because when you are God's peculiar treasure, you're going to hate wickedness. And of course, we know that in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 through 10, it tells us, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. God's peculiar people, God's peculiar treasure. We have obtained His mercy. Now, God's people are going to seem peculiar in this world. But you know what is the most peculiar thing about God's people? Love. John chapter 13, verses 34 through 35 tell us, A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another." When you have that special love that God gives his people, that agape love that is selfless, asking nothing in return, you will be a peculiar person, and you will be a peculiar treasure to God. In fact, of all the commandments that God ever gave, the commandment to love is the greatest of them all. Matthew chapter 22, verses 35 through 40 tell us, "Then one of them which was a lawyer asked him a question, tempting him and saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." And it's amazing, because if you read the Ten Commandments and you obey those commandments that he gave, you will find that they are all about loving God and loving your fellow man, loving your neighbor. And that's because all of the law, all of it, hangs on love. Without love, none of it means anything. So the most important thing that we can do, if you want to be God's peculiar treasure, if you want to be one of his jewels, and love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, but also love your neighbor. And when you do that, people are going to notice you're peculiar. But that's good. We're supposed to be. You're supposed to be very, very peculiar. So, as God continues to refine us and purify us, we know that in the process, we are becoming his jewels. He's always in the process of changing us, perfecting us. And one fine day, we will be in eternity with Jesus, and we will be his shining jewels in heaven. I'm going to close with a prayer. Father in heaven, we thank thee for thy word. We thank thee for thy promises. We thank thee for thy love that thou hast shown us. And we pray, Lord, that we would all be filled with thy love. Give us the ability, the desire to love thee with our whole hearts, to love thee with all our mind, with all our soul, with all our strength, Lord. We pray, Lord, that thou would help us to love our neighbors. We pray, Lord, that thou would help us to be shining lights in this world that need thee so very much. Help us to be a peculiar people unto thee, a peculiar treasure. We pray, Lord, that thou would continue to walk with us, to lead us, guide us, direct us in all things. Help us to always be obedient to thee and to do thy will, and give each of us thy precious gift of the Holy Ghost, we pray. We ask this, we pray this, in Jesus' name, through the power of thy saving blood. Amen. Praise God. We are going to sing a song in closing. Praise God. We're going to open our hymnals to number 340, Jewels.
Crown adorned.
shine in His beauty, His love than His own. He will gather the gems for His kingdom. All the pure ones, all the bright ones, His love and His own. Like the stars of the morning, His bright crown adorning, they shall shine in their beauty, His love and His own. Little children, who love their Redeemer, are the jewels, precious jewels, His love and His own. Like the stars of the morning, His bright crown adorning, they shall shine in their beauty, His love and His own. Like the stars of the morning, His bright adorning, they shall shine in their beauty, His love and His own. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And you are dismissed unto prayer in Jesus' name.
Thank you.